Okay, and a 1, 2, 3, hit it. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of It's Related.
I promise.
Yay! We are full house again. I'm joined by the most amazing, amazing minds. And I'm so excited when everyone is, you know, like when the house is full house. Because, I don't know, I always say RIP is a bedrock of perspectives and like different perspectives. So it's nice when we have different people around the room. So welcome to our listeners. If you're new here, my name is Sharon, aka Shazo. And on my immediate right, we have...
Charles.
Just Charles, just the one name.
Mononym.
We call him King Charles. You know, he's our regular degular. And on his immediate right, we have...
Hi, guys. I'm Nirima Wako. I'm the director of Siasa, please.
Yes, and Siasa, for our international listeners, means politics. There we go. And on my left, we have...
What's up? My name is Esther Kazungu. I am a content creator, digital activist, artivist, and actor.
Yes, that's it. And today, guys, we have a very interesting topic, very close to another topic we'd done previously about influencers and politics and where do the two coincide. But today, we're just talking about politics. And politics is a subject matter that actually on IRIP, we typically don't talk about for a lot of, you know, various reasons, but we can't avoid it. You know, politics is a key part of society and culture, and so we have to talk about it, right? But before we get into that, in true IRIP fashion, why don't we go around the table and talk about what's caught our attention today or lately or in the recent few minutes or past? What's been top of mind for you, Esther? What's what's been top of mind?
My baby's kicks.
Oh! Hey. Well done, Charles. You got it. Well done, well done, well done. Do you know, it took me and Julia like 2 years to learn how to press that button. So the fact that you've learned, you have to press it again? No! Oh my God, Esther, congratulations.
Thank you. Are you excited
to be a mom?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's usually a balance between being excited and being scared. Mm. Like, guy. A whole human.
Raw.
Don't be scared.
Okay.
You're never ready.
Yeah.
Financially. Yeah. Psychologically. Emotionally.
Physically.
So encouraging.
Physically.
Wow, guys.
Don't worry. You'll just figure it out. Imagine. When they arrive. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and when you say the baby's kicks, has he or she started kicking recently or...
They probably started a while back, but yeah. I just could not tell apart. Is this gas or are you moving? So right now it's very evident when it's the movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some weeks back I was just like,
what's going on?
Am I sick or you're moving?
Yeah. Oh, we're so excited for you and we can't wait to meet him or her.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about you, Nirima? What's been top of mind? What's caught your attention lately?
Recently. I've become a very plant person.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of plants?
Okay.
I'm asking for a friend.
I have like three different types in my office right now. Uh-huh. One is a spider plant.
Are they allowed in the office?
Yeah. It's my office.
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
She's the boss.
I'm the boss.
Yeah.
And so also with like the recent rains.
Oh, yeah.
We put kikuyu grass at the back. So it is growing so well.
Mm.
And so now one of the plants, a money plant, is now beginning to crawl on the wall. I'm super excited.
Yeah. Mm. Well so, done.
Money Thank is you. Coming.
Amen.
Money's coming.
Money's coming.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know what? It's manifesting.
Yes.
Manifest. What about you, Charles? What's got your attention?
I've been accused of stealing Sharon's attention catchers.
This one, I don't have one.
I know.
Yeah.
This one wasn't on your record.
Uh-huh.
So, I actually read somewhere. I was either reading or... I think I was reading that in the US,
yeah.
you now need to make $120,000 a year to be able to afford a home.
Wow. Jesus.
Right? But here is actually what's shocking.
Mm.
And I think then it starts bringing the notion of that there's a massive problem in the world. 3 years ago, that number was 70,000.
Wow. Just right? 3 years.
3 years ago. Mm. So think about that. In 2020, you needed to make $70,000 to be able to afford a home.
Yeah.
Now you need $120,000.
Mm.
So even when you factor inflation,
I know.
Right? And in the US, on average, annual salary increase about 3 to 4%.
Yeah.
How do you even get that? So it just really raises the issue of how much so many people are struggling across the world. Because what's happening in the US is just indicative of challenges. I think here in Kenya, we have our own problems in terms of cost of living and everything. But it's just, it's something that really made me sit up and get a lot of concern.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. 120K, 20,000.
So, but, I mean, for me, it's actually the piece that it's, you need in 3 years, the cost has grown by almost 80%.
Mm. Yeah. So
you almost need
years.
To double your salary or income over a 3 year period just to be able to get in to the whole housing market. So very concerning.
It is. Just
so, Sharon, was that on your mind?
No, not at all. Now it is. Now it is.
You see,
but it was well done.
Your mind.
Well done.
Tried,
were you like, what is the farthest thing from Sharon's mind?
Sharon's mind.
And 100, that is, God, the time I start thinking about buying a house, oh, that is far away.
But, in America.
You know, in America. Soon come. You never know. Top of mind is just today, like this conversation and you guys specifically. And, you know, I had said it at the beginning of this episode that we don't really talk about politics, but I can't believe how well it's gone because we recorded another episode before this. But it's really sat well with my psyche because we purposefully, I feel, sometimes as people that do this sort of conversational podcast that are about like dating, life, like it can seem like we're so, shallow is not the word, but it can seem like we're so removed and so detached from reality. But I don't know, like we're not, and I'm not sat here to try and defend us or whoever us is, but we do care about these issues and we are curious and we want to learn. And I just remember sitting through that previous episode that we recorded thinking that, oh my God, this is exactly what we were setting out to do. We wanted to create like dialogue. We wanted to create a space where you can openly say, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I don't know where to get this information, because I think sometimes there's a big fear, or at least for me, I usually have a big fear of saying the wrong thing on such pertinent issues, you know? So that's what's been top of mind today, like just the sense of, wow, this was so dope. Like, I'm so glad you've made it a nice listen for people that might not be too keen to talk about very sensitive issues. So thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. And speaking of... Guys, Charles has discovered the buttons on this machine that gives sound effects. So please brace yourselves.
You know,
for
boys and
nonsense.
Their buttons.
Boys and their buttons. Brace yourselves. Just know he's unhinged and it's about to be a bumpy ride. Okay, so today we're talking about politics, right? It's very closely tied to a previous episode that we did about influencers and politics, and do the two go together? And in case you haven't caught that episode, or in case this one comes out early, be sure to be on the lookout for that one or go refer to that one before you listen to this. But we want to just talk about politics in general. In one way or another, we all intersect with politics. You know, some of us around the table are political analysts. Others are just... Charles called himself a KYM, which means Kadea Moko or Kazi Mkono or...
Gopher.
A gopher?
Mm.
What's a gopher?
That sounds familiar. I watched, like, I had that on Rookie, a series I'm watching.
So a gopher is just the dude that just does all the dirty work.
That's what he refers to himself as. But
it's basically a KYM.
A KYM. So for international listeners, KYM is Gofa.
Yeah. I was translating for international audiences.
I didn't know. It's the local audiences that need translation. But yes, so we all have our way in politics in one way or another. And before we get into the conversation, our lovely what is Gloria to IRIP? She's the heartbeat of this podcast. She organizes us. She's like our little producer, does everything for us. Shout outs to you, Gloria. So she's prepared this game for us to play that will test our political trivia. People are trembling in the room.
I don't like tests.
People are trembling. Because I want people to know, you're answering these questions, you know, or we're going to get into this conversation. From what level of political knowledge are you speaking? Some of us, it's deplorable, it is sad, and you'll see for yourself. I haven't looked at this question, so I don't know what's coming up. I am equally as new to the content, but how we're going to do it is you're going to pick a piece of paper from the bowl, and then you read out the question and try and answer it. Then if you can't come up with the answer, you peel the sticky note, the green sticky note, and the answer is revealed at the bottom. So don't peel the sticky note until you try to answer it. Okay, we're going to have Esther go first because
that's all.
Mama first.
You're so late. Nerima.
So pick the any question, read it out loud, and then, you know, answer the question and let's see what your knowledge is.
I feel like I know this answer. It's just that I don't remember.
Read the question. What is it?
So the question is, which African country has the highest number of female parliamentarians in the world? I know it. Mm-hmm. It's just that I've given Nerima the answer. Like, I gave it to her. I don't know. But, I know deep down.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, deep down.
All right, reveal the answer.
Okay, so you shine for me, guys, before I reveal.
Rwanda.
Yeah, it's Rwanda.
Okay.
I knew that. Okay.
Rwanda has the highest number of female politicians.
I knew.
In the world.
I was just letting you in. Yeah, in answer.
And it's like Uganda is not far behind.
Is it? Oh. Yeah. Mm. Okay, yeah. Nerima, you can go next.
Yeah, I probably don't know the answer, but anyway.
Let's see. Read it out loud for the audience, the people in the back.
Okay. Oh, which woman leader became the first female prime minister of the United Kingdom and served for 11 years, the longest any British prime minister in the 20th century?
Hey.
The original Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher.
Thatcher. That one I knew. Hey.
Let it be on record. That was Sharon.
Okay, that is me. All right, Charles, answer your question.
Who was the first president to hold a doctorate? President Ruto.
To hold a doctorate?
Really? Yes.
As in?
Dr. William Ruto.
Yeah, doctor.
Really?
Yes. Don't
he's the first president in the world?
No.
Oh.
Kenyan.
Oh, Kenya. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you missed Kenyan in your
Yeah, Charles, you didn't read the question properly.
The first Kenyan president to hold a doctorate.
Oh.
President William Ruto.
You don't even
he's a doctor. I mean, he has a doctorate. No.
President, really? Doctor,
oh.
William Samoei Ruto.
Wow.
Yeah. WSR. Yeah,
shout outs to him. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
For real?
I didn't know that at all.
You need to get it wrong, please. I can't be the one who's got it.
Amen. Who is the current cabinet secretary of tourism and wildlife in Kenya?
They're so judgmental.
You know, I don't know.
They're so judgmental.
Tourism. Is it Najib Balala?
Ooh, he was for a long time, but he's
not.
You get half a point.
Half a point. Tourism. Penina?
Former.
Damn.
You see, you know them.
You know them.
Tourism.
In fact, you've just gone like one up on the question. You're like, I'm not just going to give current. Previous government. Current, previous on. One. And then the next one.
Alfred Mutua.
Boop.
Come on.
Damn. That's nice.
There we go.
Do you see, okay. How Sharon just does it? Eh? Anatupima.
Imagine.
Yeah. So you knew.
No, it's because I remembered that they changed, right?
Yeah.
What's the thing called? Shuffle. They were
shuffled.
Yeah.
All right, let's go, Esther.
Again.
Another round. Guys, we need to finish.
Here we go. Akiwoye. Guys, may I give up?
We won't judge you.
No, you're judging me. I'm seeing the judgment. Which African country is the only one in the world that has a constitutional monarchy with a female monarch?
Read it again.
Which African country is the only one in the world that has a constitutional monarch with a female monarch as the head of state?
A female monarch?
I actually don't know.
Wow.
Gloria.
Charles looks like.
Gloria. This is your question.
I don't know.
A female monarch. Okay, I think you might have to read it.
Current.
How comes the answer looks like it's a whole paragraph?
Current. Is it one that they allow for females to be, but not currently the monarch?
I told you it's like a whole essay. Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland, is the only African country that has a constitutional monarchy with a female monarch as the head of state. Mm-hmm. The current queen mother is Ntombi Tfuala, who shares power with her son, King Mswati III.
That was a trick question, Gloria.
the female part.
That's a trick question Mswati is the king. But the queen mother continues to retain that title. But she actually doesn't run it.
Trick question, yeah.
Trick question, we got you.
All right, Nerima, what's your question?
Which woman leader was the first female president of Liberia and first elected female head of state in Africa, who also won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2011 for her role in ending the civil war in her country? Ellen Sirleaf Johnson.
I saw where that was going. Sir Ellen, no. Because, there's a way she's called.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I understand.
This is a big one.
Yeesh.
Which female leader was the first female president of Brazil? The first woman to chair the G20, who also implemented the socio-economic policies that lifted millions of Brazilians out of poverty and expanded access to healthcare and education.
You don't know?
Can't remember. Dilma Rousseff, president of Brazil.
Did you know that?
2011 2016.
Yeah, but isn't she?
But she was
like
impeached. She doesn't count.
You knew that, Nerima. Okay.
Deep.
Okay. So, which political ideology advocates for the abolition of capitalism, private property, and social classes? Jesus. What political ideology?
The answer is in there.
What political ideology advocates for the abolition of capitalism, private property, and social socialism?
I thought it would be communism. Interesting.
Same.
Oh, okay. It's communism.
Same.
Actually, what's the difference between communism and socialism?
Same.
What's the
socialism,
difference, Nerima?
Communism. Fafanu Abbas.
BCG, but I know philosophically, I think they are. Okay, maybe it's the branding the East. I don't know.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, but I thought it was communism.
Socialism, communism, is there a there must be a difference if they're called different things.
I don't want to Google, but I don't know.
Do you know the difference, Charles?
Just the same way we say French fries and potato chips.
Okay.
Same difference.
Okay. All right. We'll choose to believe you on this one. All right.
They're almost the same.
Almost the same.
Yeah. So like Tanzania was a socialist state. Right, Chama Mapinduzi.
Mapinduzi, yeah.
Right, communal ownership of the state owns assets, and then but communism, it's more around Karl Marx and the Marxist way of
Right. But yeah. Karl Marx. You don't hear Karl Marx every other Friday, you know? Special. That's special. Like, all right, Esther, what do you have?
Esther, you're not on the road.
She's looked at Gloria. Let me tell you guys. No role for you. Let me tell myself, guys. So, me, I hate history and all those things. Not even, okay, because all of some of this is not history, but JC was a struggle for me. Social studies was a struggle for me.
Elizabeth, and let
you
me
can
tell
see
you.
Why. You can, it's not my calling. My calling is to fight for what I understand. Which political movement seeks to establish an independent state for the Jewish people in the Middle East?
Wow.
Read that again.
Which political movement seeks to establish an independent state for the Jewish people in the Middle East?
Was it Zionists?
Yeah. Guys, it's for her to answer.
No, Nerima, you are mine. But Nerima, I have hired you. Like, I'm renting you for answers. Because,
is
yeah,
she right?
Zionism.
Oh, well done.
I'm renting you for answers because at this rate...
I think Nerima, you asked for the answers from Gloria. But she's had every single one of them.
There's a time she went away, and I think
that's when this happened.
Yeah, yeah. But I think
this is not a fair electoral process.
That question was slightly misleading because it says seeks to establish as opposed to sought.
Mm. Oh, it's
because it's past tense.
Oh,
hey. You don't think it's still there?
No, well, Zionism is still there, but it's not about seeking to establish the state of Israel, right? Because the state of Israel is already established. So that was the movement in the early 40s and the late 30s
before,
when they were actually seeking to establish that.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
All right, Charles. Okay. Okay. Chat GPT.
I know.
Okay. Which African country was the first to gain independence from colonial rule in 1957? And what was it formally called?
Ah! Say that again? Charles is distracting me.
Which African country was the first to gain independence from colonial rule in 1957? And what was it formally called?
I know this, actually.
I mean, I know it's Ghana, but I don't know what it was formerly called.
Oh, ah, so there's a question she doesn't know.
What is it called?
It's called the Gold Coast.
Oh, hey.
Come on. Kwame Nkrumah. That's my G. That's my G right there. Kwame Nkrumah is my guy. He's one of my favorite historical figures. Yes. All right, Charles, what do you have there?
Let's see the next one.
Yeah.
Which is the only country in the world that has a national flag that is not rectangular or shape in square?
I know.
Tell us.
It's an African country. Nepal.
Oh, wow.
We didn't say it's an African country.
Nepal has two triangles.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why. I know it because of the Himalayas.
Oh, it is Nepal.
Who is she?
That's what I'm saying. Well, she's a political analyst.
I know.
I'd be shocked if our political analyst.
Unnecessary.
That is so interesting.
I don't know why.
does your son, do you like sit and do trivia with your son and teach him some of these things?
Imagine.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Like, that would be like the coolest
bonding
party pickup, whatever, when he's older. Imagine him as a teen. I'm just trying to get points for your son. Yeah, it is, actually. So Nepal, the flag consists of two overlapping red triangles with a blue border and various symbols.
Mm-hmm.
The flag is said to represent... Hey.
The
Himalayan mountains.
Oh my God.
The Hindu, the Buddhist religions, the moon, and the sun.
Oh, this deserves a clap. Wow.
I'm also surprised.
That is so impressive.
Do you know, just to our listeners, do you see how much we're learning?
Honestly.
Huh? It's related, I promise. The lessons.
Boom. I'm going to say that in a in a party one day. Like, oh, did you know that those two triangles on the flag in Nepal is the Himalayas?
Imagine.
All right, so I have here, who made this? Oh, no. Who made this statement? And what award did they win? It's the little things citizens do. That's what makes the difference. My little thing is planting trees. Oh, okay, this is an obvious
Yeah,
thing.
It's so obvious.
This is Wangari Maathai, who was a noble Kenyan environmental activist and a Nobel Peace Prize winner. That was, I feel like we all know. I feel like we all know that one, so that's a good one.
Esther, don't worry, you'll get this one.
I'm so tired.
You'll get this one.
Have you got an even one, babe?
We're not judging you.
Why are you asking that? Like, they didn't even know. So now they know.
The one keeping tabs.
Sorry.
She just called it out.
Like, they didn't even know I am.
This one you'll get.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Who is the first woman to be elected as a governor in Kenya?
Okay, look at me. I have no idea. Who's the first woman to be elected as a governor in Kenya?
Charity Ngilu.
Oh, is it?
He was a guest. Jesus is Lord. Oh my God, Abu. Yes.
Yay. Well done. Well done. Well done.
Hey. Stop judging me now.
Charity Ngilu.
Judging.
If you are out there,
and that was
judging
in the
me.
That was Kibaki's government, was it? No. Not. Is it? I don't know. No.
Tell us, please. You are
Nerima, you're like the not a lecturer. She's
just knowledge hub.
It can't be because she just left Kitui County.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's Kibaki. It's under UK.
Okay.
Uru Kenyatta.
Wow, that's crazy. That's very recent.
Yeah.
That's very recent.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Remember also that was the first term of governors.
Yes.
So there was no governors in President Kibaki's government.
Exactly.
Mm.
Oh.
We transitioned to counties after
counties.
That.
Counties, wow. Yep.
In 2013.
You know your politics.
Because it's according to the 2010 Constitution of Kenya.
Hey, come on.
ChatGPT. Bird. Google Bird. Ignore ChatGPT. In fact, it doesn't count.
It doesn't.
Yep.
All right, Nerima, what do you have there?
I don't know this one.
Oh, okay.
Who made this statement? I am a woman in a man's world. I want to be judged by my performance, not by my gender.
Oh. I am a woman in a man's world. I want to be judged by my performance and not my gender.
Sounds like a Gloria thing, but I don't know.
So the Gloria said it herself. Oops,
guys, okay, not like the Gloria.
Oh,
the
Roba.
Oh, yeah. Not
this Gloria. Oh, wow. Okay. So it's Ngozi Okonjo. Iweala. I don't even know how to
say it. Iweala.
Yes. Nigerian economist and the first woman and the first African to be the director of the World Trade Organization.
Oh, I've actually met her before. She's lovely.
Nice.
Yeah. Humble brag.
We love it.
Was it even humble, really?
really and truly.
Hey, this one. Which African country is the only one that is a member of the G20 group of major economies? Dun, 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 dun. South Africa.
South Africa is your guess?
We. Not guess.
Is the answer.
Hey.
Hey, we are sorry.
We're not guessing.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, Charles, you really know this stuff. Actually, what is it? You know what? Moving on. What country is the headquarters of the African Union? Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Uh-huh. Yes, I'm right. Ha ha ha. Only because I'm... Thank you. Thank you very much, Charles.
Wait, is there an extra question?
There's a last one for Esther. Actually, we've gone full circle. This is wonderful.
No, I started.
Yes, so we've gone full circle.
That's what full circle means.
So singeanza.
I'm dying. Okay. What is your say?
Which country?
It's your final
which country has the highest population in the world?
Oh.
You know, every time I look at you guys, it's to see whether you guys have the answers.
And
so that I know if I should be embarrassed.
And which one is it?
What's your guess? Let's all guess. What's your guess, babe?
You know it.
The ones that make most things. Maybe the answer is somewhere. You know, like, maybe I can look around and find that.
Yeah.
I see.
Kasungu, just say.
It starts with.
we don't know. I actually don't know. I have a guess, but I don't know.
I don't know if it's between China or India.
Oh, I was going to say Nigeria, but oh, damn.
In the future, it will.
Really? Yeah. Not yet.
No, I'm futuristic.
2100.
Charles, your answer is?
Oh, he probably knows.
I'm picking answers from him.
And then you decide.
And then I decide which one I'm going with. Yeah.
What is India?
Mm. Oh, India.
You're going with India?
What is India? 1.4 billion people.
Okay. Even we wanted to guess India, but...
Yeah. What's the correct answer, Esther?
China.
Oh, China.
Hey, how many people?
It doesn't have...
It doesn't have the answer.
That one, ask God. That question.
I'm asking God.
Ask God.
When people start having policies to have only one child.
Yeah, then there must be something happening there.
Yeah. Maybe between the time Gloria said this question and now.
It changed.
It might have changed.
This was a trick question.
What is it?
India is 1.411. Mm-hmm. China is 1.411. India is 1.392.
Ah.
Naina panda. Mm-hmm. But you know, China's population is declining.
Mm-hmm.
Massively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unashida.
Interesting.
And there are way more men than women.
Yeah,
that's true.
Shida ingine.
And on that note, so I think, guys, to our listeners, you've gotten a sense of who are the people that are a little bit more politically inclined than others around the table. But it's okay. This is a safe space. This is a safe space for everybody. As we get into talking about politics, why does politics matter? Why should we care about politics and all that good stuff? So I want to start by asking Esther. Mm-hmm. And Esther, remember, in our context, we have international listeners, people that might not know the amazing stuff you've been able to do on social media with your, like, activism. Please tell us about how you essentially single-handedly held power to account and kind of called out the Directorate of Immigration as it pertains how difficult it has been, or it was, for Kenyans to get their passports. So yeah, what happened? What did you do? And what was the result thereafter?
Okay. So I need people to understand that it was not even single-handedly. Like, everyone who contributes to the conversation helped, like, made that impact, like, go that wide.
Yeah. So what happened?
So,
what happened?
It has a backstory and everything, by the way.
Yeah.
So when I started doing the parliament videos, the SA parliament videos to be specific, I had a desire to one day go to South Africa.
Yeah.
And I need a passport for that.
Oh, you do.
So,
this was the reason.
Yeah, this is the reason. So I had applied. I had the other, like, I had renewed my passport in 2019. Then in 2020, that's when they said, these ones will not, they are null and void. We need the East African ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. They understand that one?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's how I need to explain. Yeah. So, there's a new whole passport that is East African.
Oh, you were trying to get the East African passport.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because I had, please.
Actually, it's digital. It's digitally real.
Yeah, that's the
biometric.
That's the difference. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, Charles. You know, these people who are smart and ChatGPT and everything, they know everything. So, and first of all, I felt so bad because I've just renewed my passport.
Yeah.
So I'm spending money to apply for this again.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really thrilled.
Right.
So I started and I paused.
Uh-huh.
So remember, this is a 2020 application.
Yes.
So I started and paused until now this year, after now COVID and blowing up and South African Parliament and everything.
Yes.
I just thought, if an opportunity is to come, I don't have a passport.
Oh yeah, to go to SA.
To go to SA, yes. So I said, let me follow up. And I followed up. I went for biometrics.
Yeah.
in, I think, April, May. Mm-hmm. And then I waited. And mark you, the 2019 process was very easy. Mm-hmm. It didn't take long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I applied biometrics in a couple of months. Of course, that's still long, but at least I got it.
Yeah.
I think it was max 2 months. Mm-hmm. Now, after COVID, I don't know what happened. So I waited April, May, mm-hmm. June, July, August. And I said, I'm not waiting for the opportunity to come so that I start ranting. Let me just start ranting now. Mm. So that by the time that opportunity comes, I'll be ready.
Yeah, you have your passport.
And there was an opportunity, but fortunately or unfortunately, it didn't materialize.
Okay.
Yeah, we had started the planning, but the guy went silent. So I was like, okay, maybe it wasn't meant to be, but probably there'll be another opportunity and I need to be ready.
Right.
So I went on Twitter and I ranted. And people say I wrote it in a very creative way because I was saying, I'm celebrating my monthversary. This is how many months I've been waiting for this thing. So we're going to celebrate the monthversary until it becomes an anniversary. And we're just going to be positive, you know? Let's do this. We're sticking together. And I wrote that and it blew up.
It blew up, guys, it was everywhere.
Yeah, it's not something I'm the only one who's experiencing.
Of course.
People are experiencing it. They just don't have a platform and they don't know who to ask. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to get people to, you know, contribute to their conversations the way they contribute to my conversation.
And I think also there's a sense of, see, this is just how it is. I think when you set that ball in motion, everyone was actually like, yeah, why the hell does it take so long? Because some things we just accept. Like, we just accept getting a passport takes forever.
Yeah.
So I think when you put it out there, even for me, I was like, right? Like, this shouldn't take, like, why are we celebrating month versus? And like, it struck such a chord. And I think that was the magic.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for people like you because now you see, the way you've said, it's something people have taken it to be so normal, that reflected in the replies as well.
Right.
Like, I just pay whatever you need to pay, you get it. Oh, wait, Nikama, you're not in a hurry. I'm like,
20K, $200.
So you're okay with that.
Yeah. Like,
so you're okay with this being the process. Mm-hmm. Every time you need to renew your passport, you have to, apart from the application fee, you have to set aside some extra money.
Facilitate
to people who are actually getting a salary for doing that.
Right.
Damn. There was so much of that. But now, thank God.
Yeah.
There were more people like you who were like, no, you guys are normalizing, like bribing. Are you serious? This is how you want your systems to function forever.
Right.
Like, just let's bribe all the time.
Yeah.
After that, I didn't expect it, by the way, to get me my passport at all.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought, I'll rant after 2 days. Like you say, people forget things after 2 days. After 2 days, it's done. And then I wait again for whatever any number of months.
Yeah.
I think, because I ranted on a Saturday. So the following week, I think Monday, I get a call. So these guys have our information. FBI, anyway. That's something that usually scares me sometimes. Like, so you have my information.
Oh my God. You got a call from the powers that be.
Yeah.
Damn. Do they call like with that normal like 0722 number or like it's like a special number?
They called me with the line they use for apparently now people who have like at the emergencies, like if you need a passport because of you're going for surgery or something like that. Okay. Yeah, that's what they use.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They called me, come to this office on this, like before this time, tomorrow, you get your passport. And then.
Tomorrow.
Imagine. Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine. And I was taking a nap. I won't even lie. They caught me taking a nap. So,
and do they call it like a normal voice?
Normal voice.
Did they say this is the government or like, this is the department?
No, but he didn't like even introduce himself.
He didn't introduce himself.
Really?
Like what he is. He just said, it's. No, actually, but he didn't introduce himself at all.
He just said, are you Esther Kazungu?
Come for your passport. Come to this office. And then he was like, have you written it down? And true enough, I had not written it down. So have you written it down? If you don't write it down, you won't be helped. I'm like, hey. So I wrote down the room number and everything. But then now, I've never been scared for my life like that day.
Because
exactly. Because they didn't tell me picking passports, you don't go to offices. You go to Panga, like you queue and everything, and it's the same process all over again. Mm. But this person is telling me to go to an office.
Oh my God.
I was scared.
After you that caused a ruckus.
Yeah, I was God. Guys, it's my time, eh? Yeah. It's been real. Like, don't worry.
You'll be a political detainee.
Oh my God. So I went with my husband.
Shout out to Kibunja.
Yeah, I went with my husband. Guys. And then that guy was so rude. Oh my gosh. And everyone there is so rude. Woo!
Yeah.
Like you're just asking a simple question.
Yeah.
So like, for example, we went to that building he told us to go to. People are queuing. And then one guy said, if you don't know the office you're going to, I don't know why you're queuing. So we go to customer care right next to him. We're going to this office. And I took a lift. Just go to the lift. So, what's the problem? This one has told us to come here. You're telling us, as in, who hurt you? And it's the morning. Like, who has made you this early in the morning?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we went. So I didn't know. When you now progress further into the building, they have written the, because there are lifts on this wing, one wing and another wing. Mm-hmm. So all of them have that 11th floor was told to go to. So I'm just like, which wing though? So I read which one makes sense. And the one that had immigration, I was like, oh, so it's this wing. So I went. When we got to the specific floor, I knocked. The guy came out. And then he was like, what is this one doing here? Because Kibunja wanted to enter with me. Because I'm scared for my life. I'm like, who is getting the passport? It's you. So we want to find you. You know those things. They're just so rude. So he told my husband to go like, uko, to the corridor, kabisa, uko kwa lift. And then he told me, I want you to meet my boss. Hi!
Oh my God.
It's over. Your boss. It's over. It's over.
Oh my days.
So they took me to the street director of immigration, something of the sort.
Wow.
And then they started telling me, oh yeah, so you see, we've seen your influence. We want to use you now to communicate to Kenyans because we feel like the thing that Kenyans don't have is information.
Is it? Like, is it, sir? Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bruh. So they did what they did. They do best. And man, I really wanted to respond because I knew, like, you're just telling me this for the sake.
Yeah.
You know you're telling me this for the sake. Mm. You're not. I even talked about, you're saying Kenyans don't have information. True. So that person who is not me.
Yeah, what happens
to them? And so they need a passport and you're saying, you don't know about these officers, rogue officers here who are asking for money. You don't know about them. So how do they get to you? Because now they definitely cannot get to you through that WhatsApp number you've put there.
Mm-hmm.
They can't file that complaint through there. So how are you helping such people?
Right.
They're desperate. Once someone tells them, oh, you just give me a little money, I'll process this for you. They'll pay because they're desperate.
Yeah.
So what happens to those people?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, we've been trying to. It's my girl. Get out of here.
It's okay.
Yeah. So I just, even by the time I was leaving there, I felt so bad because I had no satisfactory feedback to give people on the timeline.
Yeah.
Apart from, okay, I got my passport, but then.
Oh my God.
Then,
yeah.
So
what about everyone else?
What about everyone else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened like after, like you left his office, did they actually change things or?
Apparently for a while, like, because people kept saying, oh, I got my passport. Thank you so much. You helped me. But then it's not everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved if the report was coming from everyone who was waiting for their passport.
Yeah.
It was coming from a few people. I'm like, okay, that's good. But I have these other people who are like, hey, Kaz, Kwani, I've not gotten my passport. Yeah. I don't know. Even recently they were like, they stopped because now the passports have not been processed for a while.
Right. Because I remember that there was a time when apparently the government announced that the passports are ready to be collected. Mm-hmm. Like there was a big drive and everything was like ready. And a lot of people were saying that you were behind that, or rather the outrage you sparked was a direct, caused that to happen. Do you think that's the case, or are people sort of fishing?
I just feel like, I don't think it's me.
Right.
Because imagine if I tweeted and nobody responded.
Oh, I see. I feel like but you definitely sparked that domino effect started with your tweet. I think so. I really think so, because we all were just hunky-dory with how long it takes. Me being number one, I was just like, hey, cool. Like, I'm traveling when? Okay, let me plan 3 years in advance to get my passport. You know what I mean? Like, it was standard. And when I saw your tweet, I definitely thought, oh my God, yeah, like, why? This is so bizarre. Like, why does it take so long? And then when I saw everybody jumping on it, and then literally a few months later, the government is now announcing that actually you people are not coming to collect your passports. They're all ready. I was like, I'm pretty sure Esther's, you know,
catalyst.
Was a catalyst. Take your flowers.
I find it very, very hard difficult to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe it was in the process, and then maybe I even I messed everything up because they were going to announce it anyway.
But you know what? I feel like that's the power of like activists, right? Like, and maybe you're an accidental activist, like that wasn't your intention, and then it happened. But and I feel like even with Nerima, I'm so curious to hear even how you got into politics, because you're from a political family, right? Any relation to Emo Swako, by the way?
Yeah,
he was a former attorney general and senator.
Former senator.
Right. Yes. Is that how you got into politics?
No, actually.
Oh.
My grandfather is the late Robert Matano. So he was a minister in the 70s.
Right.
He was actually Secretary General of KANU for a few years.
Oh, KANU. Oh, my God.
Right after Tom Mboya.
Wow. Okay.
So my family is very
Political.
Political. Yeah.
And what do you love about politics? Like why do you do this thing? Like I can't even imagine being, you know how I feel like, and I'll be honest, like I feel like politicians are so
a lot.
Yeah, like you go, you're a politician. Like it just feels so.
Yes.
Like I wonder how you chose that. Like I feel like if you. Yeah, please. Just
so okay. So I don't even consider myself the politician, although in my family they say that I'm the one who's picked up.
Right.
Compared to my other cousins, they're in other things.
Right.
But I was working in the US after I graduated, and I was working for an NGO.
Yeah.
And I was doing youth programs.
Mm.
And at the time, Burundi 2012 happened.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so I was really interested to know, hey, what's Nkurunziza doing here, you know? And so that's where it started. It actually didn't start from like childhood.
Yeah.
So it started in university. And so it was really weird because I'm working for this huge global company. Like they work in 33 countries in Africa.
Yeah.
And so when it happens, my boss is like, Nerima, what do you think about Burundi? And I was like, yo, I need to know. Because I'm the only African. Like,
yeah.
We were like three.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he wants to know because he has like a global interest. He works in Africa.
Yeah.
He works in Burundi.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to know. And I didn't know. And then for me, it made me feel like Africa is so diverse.
Yeah.
And here I am, like one of the only Africans.
Yeah, you then represent everyone.
Represent everyone.
Mm.
And so that's where the interest started. So I quit my job.
Yeah.
And I came home. And that's now when Siasa Place actually started on X. So it started online.
Right.
And we just used to have conversations about what's happening in the country.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was like, where are the young people and what are they talking about?
Yeah.
So it grew from there. So how we support, 'cause now we work in 13 counties.
Yeah.
We support young people who are interested in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So we support them to campaign whatever party. We're just like
engaged. Yeah.
We do their branding. We do their
campaigns.
Yeah.
And we also do civic education.
Right.
So we
I need some of that.
Yeah. So we go to the communities and, you know, share information about, you know, budget processes, what role your leader is supposed to do. Your MCA is like your member of county assembly.
Yeah.
Is making a promise about a road. Is that really in his line of work? Mm-hmm. Can he really promise you a road?
Yeah.
So just breaking down that information.
Damn. Yeah.
Is what we do. So we've been doing it for 8 years. So me personally,
wow,
I consider myself behind the politician.
Okay.
I don't consider myself a politician.
Got it. Yeah.
But my husband did vie 2022
right.
for member of parliament. Mm. So I was also very involved in the strategy.
Right.
Yeah. So I normally like, I feel politicians make such major decisions.
Absolutely.
For us.
They do.
Yeah.
They
and
do.
So that's why I'm like involved. Because yeah. I'm like, yo, these guys are making decisions for
guys,
me. And I cannot just let them make these decisions in this bubble. So there's a saying, politics is too important to be left to politicians.
Oh, facts. Yeah, true.
So that's how I really started being involved. Because I'm like, there are amazing people out there who maybe need the support.
Yeah,
to
of
lead.
Course. Yeah.
And so I will support that. Yeah.
And I'm so glad you said that about that's where people go when they want to go into politics. Because I was like, if you want to start a career as a politician, how? You know how if you want to start a career as, I don't know, a journalist, you go to journalism school. Or like there are clear paths to this. But like, how do you even begin? Like, would you just now vie for...
For
a seat? For many people, that's how it starts,
For
right?
many people, that's how it starts. But what I'm seeing, because this is now the second election I've been really involved in.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing is, especially young people coming in, they have completely different interests.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So
okay.
It's like politics is now being viewed as a business venture.
Absolutely.
So it's not service to the people.
Oh.
And I'm worried.
I'm worried
because... The ones who are interested, we're finding sometimes are the worst ones.
Oh, wow.
So the ones who I'm like, you would make an amazing leader.
Yeah.
The other ones who are like, oh, I want nothing
to do with
politics. And so our whole job is just to demystify, you know, why politics, we need some good leaders in politics. We can have the worst.
Yeah.
Only entering.
Entering. And what's the business venture for them? Like,
because, you know, they have access to tenders. They have
access. Okay, I see.
Yeah. So they think about it even when you ask for, like, their plans. Mm-hmm. They'll think about the 4 years they're going to be in there, 4 or 5 years.
I see. Oh,
so
oh
it's like,
God.
As soon as I get in,
right.
I do these smash tenders, I plan to buy land here. Because even when you look around you, a lot of the buildings that are coming up from malls to apartments, you'll find a lot of politicians.
Oh, wow.
And that's a concern for me because I'm like, our business and our politics are now like,
wow.
One. So you're finding like, it's a very scary situation for me because you're seeing people now just looting.
Wow.
To just build their empires. And then they just, you know, leave. And that's why it's also important to, you know, politics is dirty. It's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But to encourage some people to maybe see, like, look, I don't even look like a typical politician,
exactly.
So you don't have to have this, you know, look. You don't have to talk this way. Everyone can be involved in politics. And we encourage, especially the outliers. Like, you'll find natural community leaders.
Mm-hmm, those guys,
natural. Like, we have 3 members of county assembly who entered in Kericho County that just started off just attending meetings, wanting to know more.
Yeah, they're just engaged. Involved.
And then the community was like, hey, you should vie.
Yeah.
And like, okay.
And they got it.
Yeah. So there are those specks of positivity that we really want to amplify.
And whose job is it to prevent those like business people trying to just come into it for the business venture? Like,
we are hoping that naturally they'll be weeded off.
By like, whom?
Us.
By us?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it worries me when... We keep putting in the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the time we should be seeing who our actual leaders are.
Yeah,
are they actually defending us?
Uh-huh.
Are they speaking up? Are they going against the grain? Do they have a backbone? And what often happens is people see them behaving badly. not caring. In fact, yeah. they get voted and they disappear for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then year five, they show up. And, you know, we actually vote them back. And yeah. even
Stockholm Syndrome.
I don't know what that is. I really don't know what that is. But I've actually seen people choose the worst, because I've had a very real conversation, actually two situations. Yeah. One, in Kwale County, I saw an old lady. She was demanding a bribe mm-hmm. from someone running for Senate.
Yeah.
And he said no. She almost stabbed him. I'm talking wow. about a shosho. Wow. Like a grandma.
Yeah.
Like I saw it.
Jeez. Because then, that's the system. Yeah. That's the status quo.
So I'm also like, who is this public? Because I've also seen, like, in 2022, there was a phrase used in our election a lot. It uh-huh. was called kugwara. So kugwara basically meant people made their money uh-huh. attending campaigns.
Oh, wow.
So youth groups.
Really? Yeah. Like that's the hustle?
Yeah, just the numbers.
Damn.
So you have a shirt for Kenya Kwanza. Mm-hmm. You have a shirt for Azimio. You're not loyal.
Right. Mm.
Like you at the end of the day, ni kugwara. So you scratch here, right. scratch there. Mm. And at the end of the day, you know, you ask them, so which one mm. are you supporting? They will tell you, mm-hmm. I will vote for the one who gave me the most.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a lot of politicians will flood like the few days before.
I see.
Yeah. Like a few days before we vote, they're not allowed to campaign.
Right. Mm.
So right before that deadline, they will go to their communities and pour
just
money.
Just pour money.
Because people will vote for
the person who paid the guara the most.
The most.
The most. Like,
and people will remember the yeah. recent.
Yeah. What in the ghetto? Jesus.
So that's...
that's politics.
That's politics.
A part of politics. Wow, damn. That's... I'm so glad you're here to have this conversation with us. Like, it's so... It makes it so real. I mean, it's not that it's not real, but like it really brings it closer, at least even for me. But Charles, you politics, are you politically like... Do you follow politics? Are you okay for politics? You know, as we say in Kenya, are you okay for politics? Or do you sort of stay away from it? Or, yeah, what's your relationship with, like, politics?
I'm deeply, deeply involved in politics from a perspective that everything I do in my life is influenced by politics. So anyone who decides not to think about politics is lying to themselves.
Yeah.
So it's critical. But what I was going to say is that, unfortunately, the politicians we have are exactly what we deserve.
Mm. Hey. Charles, damn.
Absolutely. Right?
We were just chilling.
the ruling class that we have is exactly what we deserve. And I think that, Nerima, you mentioned the three people who got in the community leaders in Kericho.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they deserve.
Mm. Oh, I see what you
right?
mean. Yeah,
they deserve those leaders because they decided that those are the people that will lead them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So politics is just a reflection
of us.
Of us as individuals.
Ishumeland.
Right? And so I think that we need to stop blaming politicians for the pain that we get, because at the end of the day, we will get exactly what we've put in.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple of examples.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually building on what Nerima just mentioned. If I spend, by the way, Nerima, I was going to ask you, how does Siasa Place make money? You know me, I'm a business person, right? So I'm sitting here and she's saying, we've been doing this for 8 years. And I'm like, how are you making money?
Yeah.
Like, imagine. You know, how do you make money?
That's a very good question, because I get a lot of support from donors, like foreign agencies.
So that's your advertising. That's your target audience.
No.
You see what I was saying? Kila mtu ana target audience. No, by the way, it's not a bad thing. I'm just so curious.
Because like the work that I do, in all honesty, we should be supported by our own government. Like the work that we're doing is to educate the public because this constitution gives us that liberty.
Yeah. Mm.
But they do not. And it's sad. Yeah.
The leaders we get. So going back on the point of business, right?
Yeah.
If I'm a politician, and these are the sad numbers, and please, Nerima, give us the real numbers because I think I've forgotten, I heard them somewhere. But it costs something like 100 million shillings to become a governor
in
terms of campaigning.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
Cost about 30 million shillings to become an MP.
Yeah.
Wow.
Somewhere between 5 and 7 million shillings to become an MCA.
Correct.
It costs over 1 billion or 2 billion shillings to become president. Right? Sorry?
What is it, Shadow?
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
You made a Beyonce reference.
Yeah.
It should cost 1 billion to look this.
Costs 1 billion, exactly. So here's the thing, right? Where do you think these people are getting that money?
Hmm.
It's not service. It's an investment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And every investment has to have
an
ROE, return on equity employed. So if you, as that lady who almost stabbed the senatorial candidate in Kwale County, you deserve nothing better than the person that gave you however much they gave you.
Mm.
And when they get in there, their first piece of loyalty is not to build you a road and make sure that there is proper drainage so that when El Nino gets in, you don't die because of the floods and water flows. Their first point of business is, I need a return on this investment that I made.
Mm. Wow.
So I think as a people, we need to have in sort of an introspection to ask ourselves, where do we want this nation to be in the next 50 years?
Yeah.
And then we need to start planting the seeds of that today.
Mm.
Because if we don't do that, unfortunately, this is a cyclical conversation that we're going to be having every 4 years, right? The fifth, people get money. Then for the next four, it's pain. Then fifth, they get money. And so we need to change this, right? And I pray to God and to whoever else that there are more Kerichos.
I know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right?
There are more
people in the community that say, we are going to put in the right people in government who take care of our needs as a society. Because if we don't do that, the people we're currently putting in, right, they're doing exactly what they should.
Mm-hmm.
They should earn a return on the investment.
You know, when you put it that way, I'm almost like, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the problem is not the politicians.
It's us.
We are the problem. And until we have, you know, there's this thing of man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what exactly do we want? And who exactly are we?
Yeah.
Because I think that we like to project and say, oh, they're so bad. But, you know, the reality is, just like in personal relationships, you cannot always blame your spouse for the problems going on in your relationship.
Yeah.
You're also an enabler to certain things that contribute to that relationship going sour.
Deep.
But do you think...
So like, I'm not a political analyst.
But she...
You know, this is just me from... By the way, can I tell you the funniest thing? I was laughing when you were saying about your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks ago, I met a friend, a friend's friend. And I was telling him that growing up, I actually always used to tell people that I'm going to campaign against his father.
Oh.
for the MP of Limuru because that's where I grew up, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to be MP of Limuru. And, you know, I look at that and I'm like, actually, the fact of the matter is, if I ran for MP of Limuru today, 100% I'm not winning. Right? Because I am that senator. I'm going to rock up and I'm going to tell people, these are the things I will do. Do you want to vote for me or not? And I'm not giving you a penny.
Yeah.
Right? Because first of all, I'm not running for MP or for president or governor or senator or MCA because I really want to.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's actually no glory in politics.
Yeah.
Real politics. Politics is about service to the people.
Yeah.
That's what real politics is.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no glory in that. So when I run for it and I don't guara people, I'm not going to win. So I sort of, in my own element, decided I'm not going to do that because I really wanted to be in politics, actually.
Oh.
Right? And I think that politics are so critical to everything that we do and that, you know, ignoring politics is at our own detriment. Right? We need to be a lot more engaged. We need to hold our politicians to account. But I think the challenge that we face is that we're struggling as a society. And so I don't 100% blame the people who demand a certain amount of money pre-election. Because perhaps that's the only sure way of them earning anything. And so everything I'm saying, I acknowledge the privilege within which I can sit and say, I will not do that. I will not ask for a bribe from someone. Right? Or for whatever. So I acknowledge that. And I think that, you know, there's a fantastic book that you should read called The Prosperity Paradox. And in one of the chapters, it actually lays and sets out a situation of New England in the early 1900s, which was incredibly corrupt. People were really struggling. There was like almost a mafia-like person who controlled a major part of society, controlled the court systems and the judges and the politicians and the police were in his pocket and he was majorly corrupt. However, when people started earning a living in dignity and they did not have to worry about what they put on the table for food, they started demanding better services from their country and from their government. And I think that what we must do is figure out ways of getting a basic level of income and comfort where people don't worry about food, healthcare, housing and the like. And we will see a different crop of politicians coming in.
Yeah.
Because people will expect better their politicians. So it's a tough one, but I think that, you know, it's this catch 22. Right?
Yeah.
Because people are struggling.
Yeah.
And if you give them 100 shillings, you know, they remember that and they hope.
That will be the hope is not a strategy.
Been on record for
Charles
that.
Charles always says. I love it.
So, but look, I'm hopeful. And I think that, you know, for me, the hope is that young people, the next generation of youth are going to start asking themselves the tough questions about how long does that 1,000 shillings to attend a rally and sway the decision last? And can you take the 100 shillings or 1,000 shillings and then vote with your conscience?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I kept saying. Like, yeah. I just felt like, you can take that money. They don't know who you're going to vote for. Mm. Yeah, so you can take that money and still vote for the right person.
Yeah.
Because they don't follow you to the ballot. Mm. They won't be there at you. I'm seeing you. Actually, you have to vote for me. Some of them?
Do you know really? Politics? Do you know how elections work, my friend?
Actually, how do they do?
Ask Nerima to explain how.
Oh my God, they can see what you...
Ask Nerima to explain how elections work.
Let me give you now three examples.
Oh my okay. God.
Number one. Making me be so hopeless.
Not to be hopeless, just to understand.
Yeah,
to be aware. This is about raising awareness about, you know, you need to understand. Mm. Elections are won 2 days, 3 days before elections. And on the day of elections and the day that votes and ballots are being counted.
Oh, wow.
That's why you hear of the phrase, protect the ballot.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Protect the vote.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, but Nerima, you're more in this thing.
I was going to bring up, number one, like, we are also forgetting that we are very traditional, suspicious, and we still believe in witchcraft and gods. Mm. Mm. So there's also that mentality of the money I've been given, maybe a witch doctor has so if I don't do what I promise to do with it, I am
itanifuata.
There's that.
Oh my and God. Then,
yeah, and there's a thing for your faith healing you. So whatever you believe, like everything you see, every small thing that happens, it's because of that money. And
that thing is real.
Yeah, it's
very, very real. Mm-hmm. Very real. Then there's also the aspect of when people go vote. First of all, especially women.
Yeah.
A family decides we're all going this way. Uh-huh. In fact, we listen to the patriarch. So maybe dad or grandpa.
Yeah.
And there's also that thing of going to the ballot box yourself. Guys need to remember, a lot of women, the ID is kept by your husband.
In this day and age?
He'll hand it to you that day. Yes, in this day and age.
Damn.
Even your phone, that M-Pesa. Mm. There are so many women, it goes through the man. He's the one with the phone.
Right.
The kabambe, if they have a phone.
Mm.
So communication money, he controls. And so even it's the same. So they, when they go to vote together, he's there standing behind you. In fact, officials have had to separate spouses to be like, they have to go alone.
Yeah.
And sometimes they say, this one is not learned. Watch an imside. And they will stand beside you.
Oh, wow.
To watch how you tick.
I've been seeing it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's also those gender norms that we also have to think about. But also in regards to watching the vote. Me, I have seen boxes leave sealed and arrive open. Okay? Midway in transit.
Wow.
Mm. A lot of that happens in our elections. A lot of that. In fact, if you're not keen, I watched this in Madari with my own eyes, with my husband's. The ballot boxes came, but the numbers were not matching. You can't even know that within the ride, how people have transferred. And you're here thinking, kila kitu iko sawa. It doesn't even happen before your eyes. It doesn't. And that's why I don't know if you guys remember at Bomas how guys were so tense. I think you remember those images of guys like, screaming, what? Someone is passing. It is intense. And I'm not saying that everything is hopeless. We have seen some good stories of good people winning, but the community has to be engaged and involved in wanting that win. It cannot happen one person deciding to do it. People need to volunteer to guard, to be agents, volunteer for food. You know, they need to. Yeah. And I keep telling people, you know, a lot of us are part of chamas, like circles and table banking. Let's have chamas for political leadership. You raise money to remove people from hospital. You raise money for funerals, for school fees. Raise money for politics. Mm. If someone in your community is standing, support them. A lot of us say, "Ay, apana yo, that is just too much. It's dirty. Why are you entering?" We discourage so many people. As you can see, I'm very passionate about
it. And those are the best people. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you need people who see this. First of all, being a politician, and I'll tell you, even the ones that you call dirty, There's no glory in it.
Mm.
It's the most exhausting thing ever. You have no life. Nerema, please tell us.
No.
You have no life, right? Your life is not your own.
It's not your own.
Your phone is not your own. Your phone, like, I mean, do you all remember Professor Ndemo saying the day he stopped being a PS, permanent secretary, as we used to call them back then, his phone went dead. He thought it had broken. Baka, he went to Safaricom to check. Right?
Imagine.
And it's just because he was of no use to the people who used to call him then.
Mm.
Right? So it's a tough thing, even for those who are in politics, right? But I think perhaps this is the one place whereby I shall say hope just might be the strategy.
Wow, you've changed your tune.
No, the one thing.
The one thing.
The one thing. The one thing. Let it go on record. The one thing.
No, I think my relationship with politics is so, it's very personal and tied to sort of a lot of, like, I'll call it family trauma in our family, having seen what, you know, my dad being in politics and seeing what he had to go through and, you know, pretty ugly stuff. And I don't know, I think for me, just growing up, because I was maybe 13, 14, it just completely ruined my idea of politics, knowing what really goes on in there. And seeing what it can do to a marriage, to a person, to someone I love, someone I respect, someone I look up to. So, I don't know, like, politics for me has always been this, like, yucky job people do. And it can be so bad to you, you know what I mean? Like, that's always been my narrative. But obviously, now that I'm getting older and realizing that even these corporate jobs in tech can be yucky and spit you out so quickly, you know, it's life. Like, life is unpredictable. Life is a roller coaster. I'm now starting to think more about even me as Sharon. Like, what are my political views? What do I stand for? Who do I stand with? Who do I stand against? What are my political ideologies? What do I live by? How, you know, what guides my political philosophies? Stuff like that. I've never sat and thought about these things, but I think there's something about the current political climate globally that has forced me to think. And I think it's because of this idea of what side are you on? And I've also been trained as a journalist for the last 10 years. So I'm very okay being impartial, very okay being neutral. Mm. I am no longer, I mean, I am a journalist by training, but I don't report for anyone, literally and non-literally. And so it's forced me to think about those things. And I think I've come to a place where I am happy to have those questions, those conversations. And which is why also it was important that we had this conversation, because I'm just like, what is it about politics that we as young people are so afraid of? Because I think there's also an element of fear of, I guess, how dirty and corrupt and all those yucky things that it sounds like. But as you said, Nerima, like, oh, is it Charles? Like, it's to our detriment if we don't know what's going on. And I'm not proud to admit, but I've never actually voted. I've never cast a ballot. There's been a couple of reasons why, but this other election, it was just pure proper ignorance. Like, I don't feel like going to queue and whatever. And I'm not proud of it. Charles is so shocked. But it's true. There are people that were just like, right? And it's definitely not something I'm proud of, but, like, come next election, I do want to go to the ballot. I do want to be informed. I want to turn that around and make a meaningful choice. But I definitely feel like, because of my past and my relationship with politics and seeing how it just, like, brought a lot of pain to our family, mm-hmm. I've been very touch and go, like, very touch and go. But it's definitely changing. And I hope that, you know, in future I'll be a bit more involved and interested.
But Sharon, I don't think you need to be tough on yourself, right? Or feel like, what did you say? I can't remember what you said. Sorry. ADD. Anyway, apathy is real. Apathy to the political system and politics and the political process is real, right? And when you see the turnout rate at mid-40s percent, and especially around young people, because the other thing, and Narama, please guide me and correct me on this, that we see is that a lot of people will go for those rallies but won't turn up to vote.
That happened, yeah.
Right? Again, as a consequence of this thing, I don't want the curse of having taken the money and voted for the other person. So you'll take the money, but you won't go vote. So I think that apathy is real. And so it's a holistic thing that we need to do. We need to do the work that Nerima is doing in terms of building out a civic education and people to understand the implications of politics to their day-to-day lives, but also really motivating people to understand the implications over time for not actually going to vote.
Yeah.
Right? And that though you might be apathetic to it, the implications of that is actually a lot greater than the apathy for that particular moment. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, I voted, I think in 2017, I went to vote twice. I was that guy.
Yeah, that's passionate.
Right? Like twice. Pre and post the judgment. Yeah. Let me tell you.
I love but, it for you.
But, you know, you then realize, you sit, and you're like, this thing, it may not go the way you want it to, but as my grandma used to say, you know, try and try again. You just have to keep trying consistently because, you know, our lives, our personal lives, and especially now, in Kenya, this is the best example of how politics is so deeply intertwined with our day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. And especially in Africa, right, whereby the economic systems are not well matured and structured to actually not affect, to be affected daily by politics, right? In the U.S., the ripple effect happens months, years later. Yeah. In Kenya, decision happens the next in the afternoon, right?
Yeah.
The implication has hit you, right? So we cannot ignore it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Damn, guys, I'm going to have to bring this conversation to a close. But, you know, I feel like I've learned so much. And honestly, Charles, you really light up when you talk about this stuff. I think it's I think this is very close to your heart. I didn't know. We learn new things every day.
Hey, remember what I said? Different facet.
is this part of your brand? No, but honestly, I don't know how you guys just feel around the table, but I found this very edifying.
Yeah, I did as well. And I can identify with you.
Yes. What? Really?
Yes.
They are embarrassed. Did I say that on record?
No.
Oops.
No. I can. But also to share that it's a lot harder also because you're pushed into a box. As soon as you start engaging about politics, you'll be asked, what do you know? Especially young women. So a lot of them become afraid, and statistics show they actually close their social media toward political conversation.
Right.
And yeah, it's a concern because even young women's participation is actually on a decrease in politics.
Yeah.
We only have 14 elected women below 35 out of thousands.
Wow.
We have 1-4. And we're like the 70% of the population.
Yeah.
But to make you put that in perspective, young men below 35 are 303.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, politics is a whole... Esther, what are you thinking, feeling, final thoughts?
No, I'm just grateful to be here because it's some things I thought I knew.
Like how many people in China?
You thought you knew.
I need something for this, for the balance.
You're still funny. Me, that South African thing of yours, I thought. If you guys haven't watched Esther Kazungu.
Yes.
Soon to be on YouTube Shorts.
Okay, fine.
I know.
Hey, the pressure. Okay, I'll do it for you, Charles. Hey, I'll be uploading every day. Like, this is for Charles.
I forgot about that part. But yeah, guys, we've come to the end of this conversation. It was honestly up there with one of my favorite conversations because of the learning. Like, I'm such a nerd for learning stuff and hearing experts speak so passionately about what they do. Nerima, Esther, thank you. And Charles, as always, for being my wingman today. You are amazing. And to our listeners, oh my goodness, guys, I'm so curious about your relationship with politics. Please leave us a message, send us a voice note. Are you very politically charged? Are you not? Are you like me, where, you know, you've had a bit of a traumatic personal family connection to politics, or, you know, where do you lie? Send us your voice notes at It's Related, I promise. And remember, this has been It's Related, I promise.
Hi, IRIP ladies. I hope you guys are well. I'm recording this from the diaspora. Just wanted to let you know that I'm the biggest fan. I always, you know, I am excited to hear a podcast or listen to the latest podcast as I'm working on Fridays. It's a great start to my weekend. Just wanted to say your last episode on, you know, reflecting back on 2023 really gave me time to kind of sit down and think about the year that was. And although it's been one of my hardest years, I would say, you know, I've learned a lot. I got engaged, which was super exciting. There's a lot of wins despite the challenges, despite the valleys, a lot of peaks. So, yeah, it's been nice to have that kind of downtime to reflect. So keep up the good work. I'm going to keep listening to you all, and I hope you guys have a great rest of the year.